From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. This week, Dr. Alan Cairns is bringing a message entitled The Filling of the Spirit, part of his current series on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 5, verse 18, Paul wrote, And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The comparison drawn in the text shows the possibility of a counterfeit of the filling of the Spirit. As Dr. Cairns will demonstrate, there is also a contrast indicated. Whereas alcohol depresses a person, the fullness of the Holy Spirit lifts one to joy and real happiness. At the same time, we'll see that as the drunkard is completely controlled by the alcohol, the Spirit-filled believer will manifest the Spirit's control in every area of his life. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns takes a few minutes to answer the question, Why doesn't God save everybody? The video version of this comment may be found under Q&A with Alan Cairns on our website, ltbsradio.com.
I always wonder when people ask this question, why doesn't God save everybody? It's one I've heard many a time. A couple of answers I'll give. The first answer that comes to mind is, it's a crazy question. The big question is, why does God save anybody? I'm dealing with the holy God of the Bible. I'm dealing with the God who didn't stir, as it were, a muscle, didn't move a finger to save angels when they sinned. And yet he saves an innumerable company of men and women. I believe, and I believe I could establish it from Scripture, I believe that at the end of the day, God will save more than 50% of all men. God will save the majority. There'll be more in heaven, as it were, than in hell. That's my conviction from God's word. So he saves an innumerable company out of every tribe, tongue, kindred, and nation under heaven. Now, why does he not save everybody? When Jesus spoke of things that men couldn't understand, he said, Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Paul said, in this general connection, Who art thou that repliest against God? Why God does anything is ultimately for his own glory. That's the ultimate. Now, how God is glorified? In the exhibition of his grace and in the exhibition of his holiness and judgment and justice, I can only, as a mere human, have a very, very limited understanding. The fact that he glorifies himself is stated in Scripture. The fact that God will be glorified and I will be praising him in heaven forever, in glorification, I'll be praising God forever for everything that he has done, including the judgment of the ungodly, tells me if he is glorified, that's good enough for me. I don't understand it all, but I'm going to praise him for all eternity for it, and therefore I will not find fault with him. Now, why he does it is his business, and it's for his glory. And for anybody who knows himself and knows anything of God, for anybody, in other words, who does not try to make himself God, that is good enough.
Transcend the earth and fills the heavens.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We have been delighted with the response to these programs. Your words of appreciation and your letters and emails have been most encouraging. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. And we're pleased to announce that the latest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is Darwinism. Two Free Presbyterian ministers deal with the fruit and the fallacies of Charles Darwin's theories. In that connection, there is a report on the wonders of God's handiwork displayed at the Creation Museum located near Cincinnati, Ohio. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church, focusing this time on Dr. S.B. Cook. The missionary focus is upon what the Lord is doing in the nation of France. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org, or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word, radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, is it ever right to have an abortion? What is revival? And do all who die as infants go to heaven? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Look at Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I see first a life which counterfeits the Holy Spirit's work. It says, be not drunk. Now, I'm just going to suggest a couple of things and you can follow them through. Be not drunk. Drunkenness and doesn't take you to be paralytic, to be drunk with wine, mind you. But drunkenness is the devil's mockery. And it is the devil's mimicry of the joy, the power, and the consolation of God the Holy Spirit. And almost every crime is attended by booze, or in our day, by booze and drugs. The excess starts out as a life that's counterfeiting the joy and power, the consolation, the feeling of well-being that the Spirit of God alone can really give. And how it ends up. There's a life then counterfeiting the Spirit's work. The second thing in the text is a life which contrasts that life of the flesh, which I've just been talking about. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The believer contrasts the life of the world, the life of the ungodly, the life of the devil's booze. Go back to Luke 15. You remember that story of the prodigal son? Riotous living. You know, there you've got a picture of what the devil and sin will do to every man that they get their hands on. If you're in this meeting this morning and you're not saved, I can tell you that the devil always is full of fair promises. Sin always holds out alluring possibilities. But it always ends the same way. This young fellow spent everything. That's not a nice picture. And when he had spent all, he was spent. There wasn't too much booze then. There wasn't too much of the riotous company then. He was just discarded. Discarded. I think of young people, and they have set out on this life, and then I see them go down, 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 down until they're at rock bottom, and even the drunks that they run around with want nothing more to do with them. Now, over against that, you've got the life of the believer who's filled with the Spirit. What Paul is saying here really is twofold, that drunkenness exhausts, it depresses, causes misery. It is one of the biggest lies in every way, a lie that's perpetrated on a foolish public, that booze is a stimulant. Every third-rate TV program will show the home with its booze cabinet. And every time you need a little pick-me-up, you need a stimulant, they present the booze. You know, medically, and you can check this out if you like, I say it in the highest authority. Medically, booze is not a stimulant, but it acts as a depressant. And that's why people very rightly talk about going out to drown their sorrows,
All they do is pickle and addle their brain until they depress it to such an extent that they're unaware of their problems. For a little while. Then they come back and they find that far from stimulating, they're exhausted. They're in misery. And of course, you've got another method, not the other and many others, but another method of producing the same lie and having it accepted. Here in Greenville, I drive around and I see things that even in the most drunken parts of Ireland I've never seen, and that is happy hour. Happy hour. You know, if there was such a thing in America, there may well be, maybe Tim can put me right in this afterwards, as what we have in Britain, the Trades Descriptions Act, that calls for honest description of any goods that are displayed for sale, and any services that are displayed for sale. Every liar of a barman who dares to put up happy hour should be regaled before the courts. Happy hour. You know, unless you were the devil himself, I can hardly conceive how you could take the broken homes and the broken hearts and the starved children and all that goes along with booze and call it anything remotely connected with happiness. It's the happy hour. There they sing. There they have their convivial time. It really is a most wonderful time according to them. But all it does is empty both the pocket and the heart. And over against that, there is life. I can understand people going to the bar, you know. I can understand it. I can understand why they get into the drunken revelry and the sing-songs and all the rest of that. It's not hard to take in why a man would do it. There is a craving within the heart for some real uplift, for some real joy, for some real feeling of well-being, for something that will satisfy, for something that will lift you above these circumstances of life, for something that will take away that bleakness and blackness that surrounds the life that you're now living. People want to escape from that. Tragedy is that instead of escaping by booze, they just get into it all the more deeply. There is, thank God, the real way of escape. Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. And the life that is lived in the Spirit of God is a life that energizes, a life that stimulates, a life that lifts you above mere circumstances, not by blotting out the very sight and memory of those circumstances, but by instilling within you a supernal joy and happiness, a peace that transcends anything that the world can say or do. Thank God it meets even that need in the human heart for that convivial fellowship. Look at verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. There is a need for that kind of a joyous fellowship. There is a need. God's people, just like all other people, are not made to be little islands. They're not made to be totally independent of each other. There is that need. Thank God it is met in the life that's in the Spirit. So there is here a life which counterfeits the work of the Holy Ghost. There is then a life which contrasts the life of the flesh. Now the key to it all, there is a life which is controlled by the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Spirit. this verb, be filled, is one that speaks of constant condition. It speaks of being under the constant control of the Holy Spirit. If you want to get something of the force of the verb, there are many texts of Scripture I could go through in this, but let me select one. John 12 and verse 3. You remember that here you have the anointing of Christ in Bethany. Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. That's the very verb we're talking about in our text. The house was filled. In other words, that house was fully permeated with the odor of this ointment. There was no part that was left unaffected. Now, this is what Paul is talking about. Be filled continually with the Spirit of God, so that your whole being, the entirety of your existence, is permeated by the Holy Spirit, and there is no part of your life that's unaffected. Now notice how he puts it, be not drunk, but be filled with the Spirit. There is a contrast there, but in order for that contrast to have any meaning, there is also a comparison. As the drunkard is under the influence of the booze, that's what it means to be drunk, isn't it? To be under the influence. And the drunker a man is, the more under the influence he is. Be not drunk, but be filled. Be under the influence, the control, the dominion of the Spirit of God. When a man is under the influence of booze, the booze controls how he thinks. I mean, I have known people who in their moments of sanity were clear enough in their thinking to understand that they were really sort of weak characters, and they would, as we would say in Ulster, they wouldn't say boo to a goose. I don't know where that saying came from, because having met a goose in a farmyard one day, I wouldn't say boo to a goose either. When a goose comes, you run. I'd rather face a German shepherd than a goose, believe it or not. And if you have ever known anything about goose farming, you'll know what I mean. But we have that saying, wouldn't say boo to a goose, he's so timid. But I've seen these timid little characters, and as soon as they get some of the devil's liquor in them, man, they think that they could take on Goliath single-handed. And they're ready for anybody. Even though they're less able than ever before. Blow on them and they'd fall. But you see, the booze controls how he thinks. The booze controls how the drunk acts. How he reacts. The booze controls how he walks. It controls how he talks. It enters into his whole relationships. Now then, be not drunk with wine, but be filled. Be constantly under the controlling influence of the Spirit of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.